Local sports.
For 75 years, NCMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Well, I walk back down.
No, hi, welcome back. Hour number 2, 11:05 on a Monday. Miller and Condon with you until noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Still to come, bottom of the hour or thereabouts, our friend Michael Swain from Cyclone Alert, part of 247sports.com on Iowa State as they get set to take on UNI this coming Saturday. That is a 3 o'clock kick. You can hear the game down one hallway on 100.3 The Bus. Of course, down the other hallway, you can listen to Indiana and Iowa on 1040 WHO. You can listen to Baseball Conversation right now with our friend Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com. Another crazy week, culminated by, I guess, the Mets, right? And, geez, what a crazy, crazy... I'd hate to root for that team, Matt Snyder. It would be so difficult to do so. I mean, they lead the whole way. Now they're looking way, way up at Atlanta, the schedules. They were pretenders is what they were. Now the players revolting against the fans. My gosh, where does it end? How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. That was quite the intro. Okay. So Javi obviously shouldn't have said anything. I think everybody can agree on that. But my Lord, the fallout is like somebody murdered somebody or something. We've got the team releasing a statement, everybody going crazy like it's the worst thing they've ever heard. I mean, good Lord, settle down. But, you know, it kind of is, if you follow Mets fans on Twitter, this is kind of how they are. Everything's the most dramatic thing in the world.
Yeah, this was one of them. Baez and Lindor, Kevin Pillar was involved. The owner comes out with the statement. Look, it, as much as anything, I think it's... It's where they were. They teased their fan base for the entire season, right? They led the whole way. DeGrom's putting up MVP-type numbers. Not only is he going to win the Cy Young, but he's the MVP of the entire league. And then the schedule toughens up and the injuries, and all of a sudden now they are, what, 7.5 games behind the Atlanta Braves, 4 games below 500, and it seems like it's over.
It's one of the more... I say impressive tongue-in-cheek, one of the more impressive meltdowns that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I think, like, it was towards the end of July, they had a four-and-a-half game lead. Yeah. Now it's 7.5 deficit in just a month. To do that kind of work in a month is an incredibly efficient meltdown. And everything's gone wrong. And I have to say, like, as much as I just made fun of the fans and Sandy Alderson for releasing a statement and naming Javier Baez by name, that was ridiculous. The players are making it worse. I mean, you've got Taijuan Walker and Marcus Stroman and Kevin Pillar going after fans on Twitter over this. Like, everybody's doing a bad job. The fans, the owner, the front office, the players, it's a complete tire fire.
Speaking of meltdowns, that was Alex Reyes again on the bump yesterday. Yeah. Third blown save in the last 3 weeks. He's taken 3 losses during that time. Incredible stuff. Young man working his way back off of a bunch of injuries early in his career. It looks like, though, they're looking around. And you look at that bullpen, it doesn't seem like there's an easy answer of what direction to go in the ninth.
No, there's not. And you would think, like, Reyes has too good of stuff to be melting down like that. Now, the walks have been an issue all year. The home runs haven't until recently. But between all the injuries and the inconsistency, I don't think there's anywhere else really to turn. I think you just keep running them out there. And really, I don't think that they're a playoff team anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's probably not the biggest deal in the world to kind of try to let him work through it.
Yeah, they're still 3.5 out. I mean, they've got a prayer. There's only one wild card available. The Dodgers are up 11.5. You know, and to that end, and I know we're going to hear a lot about it in both leagues because it looks as though Tampa's going to have to play the Yankees in all likelihood. It looks as though
The Giants are going to have to play the Dodgers. Meanwhile, the Braves and the Brewers got not a free pass, but for one of those teams, you'd much rather go that route. Likewise with the White Sox and the Astros. This is going to be a big talker as we get to the end of September, early October, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I don't know if it'll spur any change. I mean, we've seen stuff like this in the past. I started to bring up my Cubs again, but hey, I've got to live in the past now at this point.
Well, that's for sure.
But, you know, 2015, the NL Central had the three best records in all of baseball. And you had the 98-win Pirates get beat by the 97-win Cubs in the wild card, and then the 97-win Cubs beat the 100-win Cardinals in the NLDS. And then the Mets swept the Cubs and went to the World Series, and it looked like, okay, the one side, like you said, not necessarily a free pass. That's way oversimplifying it. But a much easier route if, for example, we're talking about the Brewers getting to line up Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta if they're at full strength against the Braves in the NLDS. And then let's say they sweep them, then they just get a rest while, let's say, the Giants and Dodgers beat up on each other. Seems like it's a lot easier road for the Brewers there, but I don't know if there's anything that will be an impetus for a fix, because, you know, it seems to work itself out in the postseason, and we seem to get over it as the years pass.
A incredible weekend plus for Sal Perez, a guy that...
Is he getting close to Hall of Fame talk?
I think it's more than talk. You look at what he did early in his career. Matt, I completely missed on this. I thought the Royals organization ran through him, the amount of games and innings they put on his legs early on, and here he is at 31 years old.
They kind of did, though.
Yeah, they did.
And 38 home runs.
The Tommy John surgery was like their saving grace.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Took a lot out of him. Yeah, took a lot off of him and off the legs for a year. Mm-hmm. But
between the Tommy John and the pandemic last year, mm-hmm. he had some rest. Yeah.
That helps in a big-time way. Go to Ken's point. Hall of Famer, Sal Perez, is it as simple as that now?
No, I'm not there yet.
Not yet, but he's in the conversation.
Getting into the discussion. Yeah. I mean, if we're going to have years like this where 38 homers, 94 RBIs, 544 slugging at age 31, a catcher, if he piles on a few more of these, mm-hmm. let's say he's at 190 home runs right now. Let's say he gets over 300 home runs and over 1,000 RBIs with the workload that he put together behind the plate. 1,130 hits, gets up around 2,000 hits. Yeah, I think we'd be in the discussion then. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was one that he's a nice player, but he's in that. There's a whole bunch of nice players. You got to be something special, and he's changing some opinions. I want to get your take on the Padres. It seemed like Chase Tingler, did he panic when he fired Rothschild? I mean, look, it's not his fault, I don't think, that all these pitchers are on the IL, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of the most respected guys in the game. And to do it this late, I don't know why he went down this path.
I'm not a fan of scapegoating during the season like that unless it's something just absolutely catastrophic. And when it comes to the Padres and their rotation issues, it's been, like you said, it's mostly been injury. Mm-hmm. Or just Ryan Weathers, he's 21. He was drafted out of high school. He skipped several levels in the minors. He just wasn't ready for this. And a prospect like Mackenzie Gore, who's been hurt all year and has taken steps back, that really hurt the organization. You had the Mike Clevenger injury last October. Denelson Lamet, the injury lingered into this year, and they haven't been able to get him right. Paddock's hurt right now. Darvish was just on the injured list. I mean, are we really going to blame the pitching coach on Blake Snell? Because that's really the only area where it hasn't been an injury and the guy is underperformed. So that's tough. And speaking of tough, have you seen the rest of their schedule?
No, I didn't. How bad is it? Giants, Dodgers, a whole bunch of times?
They have the Diamondbacks for 3 and the Angels for 2. Everybody else has a winning record.
Wow. Ooh.
They've got the Dodgers 6 times, the Giants 10, the Braves 3, the Astros 3, and then at Cardinals 3.
Mm. Cardinals maybe still
25
have a chance.
Games, 25 of their 30 games left are against teams with winning record.
Well, it's a good point, Trent, because the Padres and
they're
the
going to earn it.
Yeah,
if they get there.
If they get there.
Yeah.
Speaking of earning it, yeah. Wander Franco, the number one pick from a couple years back. He was called up, what, back in June. There was some fanfare at the time, but he plays for the Rays, and you just kind of forget. Oh, all he's done is put together the second longest on-base streak for a kid under 21, other than Mickey Mantle. Not a bad start for Franco, huh?
Yeah, and it's funny that for whatever reason, and I think we could probably pin it down, it seems like the Rays individual players a lot of times are kind of under the radar, and I think it's by design there, other than like an Arozarena run last September and October. But like, this guy should have a lot more fanfare.
Yes.
You know, it's 20 years old, best prospect in baseball heading into the year, and he's absolutely on fire right now, as you mentioned, getting the numbers up there. Maybe a deep postseason run if he stars. Maybe that'll be the thing that breaks through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's been, gosh, I'm looking at, if it just did the last 12 games, yeah, 396 with a 453 on base and 604 slugging in his last 12 games. So he's all kinds of on fire right now.
Hmm. You know who else is on fire? The schedule maker is everybody, not everybody, but certainly a majority of our audience focusing on college football. NFL starts a week from Thursday. But have you guys seen some of the series we've got? I mean, Cardinals and Cincinnati, absolutely massive.
Mm-hmm.
Boston and Tampa Bay, big, big series in the American League East. Atlanta's going to play the Dodgers. The Brewers are on the road taking on the Giants. Houston and Seattle still have some business. Seattle's hanging around the wild card. So while focus is certainly, or football rather, certainly, you know, taking away a lot of the focus from MLB, MLB has certainly put out some, I think, fascinating series to begin this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I felt like in the middle of July, maybe around the All-Star break, when I was looking at the races, I got like mildly depressed. I was like, man, we're not going to have that many good races. And in the divisions, maybe that's true. Maybe it's just NL West. But the wild card is, I mean, in both leagues, the wild card, at least the second wild card of the National League, maybe both in the American League, unless the Yankees kind of run away with it. But I feel like those races are going to be amazing down the stretch. So it's, well, you know, speaking of college football, NFL, baseball, we're in for a really fun September.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt about it.
So, seen a couple of articles, and they were both really long, so I haven't dug completely in it, but talking about the Atlantic League and their move from the pitcher's mound at 60 feet 6 inches to 61.6, and there hasn't been a ton of data yet. It's been less than a month, but conversations about that impact, what that's going to be, and ultimately if this is going to come to Major League Baseball, trying to circumvent, yeah, you know, what pitchers have done. Matt, have you dug into those numbers at all, seen anything, or is it just too early to get into the data?
It's probably too much of a small sample, but my colleague RJ Anderson did a really deep dive and interviewed a bunch of players from there, and said what was interesting is that they actually, for whatever reason, probably a small sample fluke, but he said actually the strikeout rate went up. So,
really?
And a lot of the pitchers said it gave their breaking balls more time to kind of develop and break, and whereas it's only a foot, the fastball doesn't really die that much in the extra foot. So I don't know if it's having its intended effect, but it's too early to really put a ton of stock into what's going on.
Last thing for me, Yadier Molina coming back for one more year. I mean, just a tremendous career that he's had. It is, see, when I read your piece, when did it come out? Late last week on Molina.
Thursday maybe? Yeah, it feels like Thursday.
See, I don't know,
the days all bleed together.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. I just thought that he's a no doubt about it Hall of Famer. Are there people out there that don't believe that? I just thought he's going to march right into Cooperstown. I really did. But is there some pushback on that?
I don't think it's going to be enough to keep him out. Probably gets in on the first ballot. I'm a voter. Like, if you read my piece, then you would see that I'm a yes on him.
Yep.
But there's a decent number of people that think he is totally, completely, outrageously overrated. And I even threw in Russell Martin's name in there on purpose because there are literally people who say he's just Russell Martin with more fanfare.
Mm. I love Russell Martin.
But I think it's a vocal minority.
Right. Yeah, Russell Martin does not belong in the same sentence as Yadier Molina, and I love Martin. A good Canadian boy, played in Toronto, does not belong in the same sentence, other than they're both catchers.
Well, we finish with this. Matt Snyder from CBS, of course, on the baseball beat, but you are an Indiana grad, and your fine alma mater will be making its way to Kinnick Stadium for a whooping 230 on Saturday. Matt, you saw a big jump forward from that program. Tom Allen has done great work continuing to build. He's a fun coach to listen to. You can see how the guys buy in. So there's expectations that certainly haven't been there outside of the fan base in a long time. Just a quick preview from a Hoosier perspective for us.
We've been teased before, and so we're all scared to get hurt again. So I think we're really nervous for this one. But, gosh, almost everybody's back from last year. I mean, Wop Fillier and it maybe a couple guys on defense are it. Everybody else is back. And that was a team that was so good through the 6-1 start. Now we looked pretty terrible in the bowl game, but there were so many weeks off and the COVID issues. I don't know, whatever. I'm a proud season ticket holder. I'm really excited, but yeah, at the same time, we're nervous because we generally always get hurt every time we think that the program's made a turn.
Well, when we talk to you next week, this will be one of the talking points.
Yes.
You or Trent will have some bragging rights when we
reconvene. I just hope Penix doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, good point.
He's so good, but he gets hurt so often.
He wasn't in against Penn State.
He was in.
Yes, he was.
Okay. He was
absolutely.
I'm outvoted.
The ball was right inside the pylon. Come
All
on.
All right. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Love talking baseball with you, Matt. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.
All right, you guys too.
Thank you. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. As we talk a little MLB. Yeah, the wild cards are going to be just a blast.
It starts tonight. Reds, Cardinals, that's where
that's
I will
pretty
be.
Good, right? Yes. And that's early pitch, or early 5:40, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's early.
Interesting start time to that
All
one.
All right, go Cards, go. Keep them in the hunt. They're only 3.5 back, but yeah. Reyes, Trent, you can't keep sending them out there.
But who are you doing in...
Well, that's a great point.
Gallegos, he was a can of gas. What was that, Thursday last week? He gave up 6. They had a big lead in that game. Just isn't anybody that's easy to slide in that spot.
I just saw them... Channel 13's on in the studio. They're they're promoting RVTV, and they have the Pewter family. So... I'm on Twitter last night. Of course, it's night that it is. Anyways, I'm always on Twitter. And I get it for somebody followed me. And it's the Pewter family.
The Pewter family.
Is a Twitter account. And I responded almost incredulously, how in that world was that available in Iowa or anywhere, but especially where we live? I mean, everybody comes up with an account, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Pewter family, until... this weekend, had not been claimed on Twitter. Well, they are now.
At Pewter Family, so this is going to be a parody account, I'm going to guess.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I mean, they got something between their ears to think about trying to snap that one up. Perfect. They did. I hope they got a plan for it, because it could be really, you know, a pretty good account, at least for a couple of weeks every year, right?
Making the live replica, people taking pictures of it.
I guess.
So it's going to be...
Well done. Follow at the Pewter family. We will come back with Michael Swain. He covers Iowa State for CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. Michael Swain next. Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 107.
On your side.
The Central Iowa Sports Network is your home for year-round coverage of high school athletics in the CIML and the only place to watch Des Moines Menace Soccer, providing coverage year-round and always streaming for free on YouTube and at CISN.TV. Subscribe to CISN-TV on YouTube to stay up to date on upcoming events. Like and follow on Facebook and Twitter at CISN-TV or visit their website at CISN.TV. CISN-TV, the home for live.
Maybe you're thinking about franchising your business or purchasing a franchise. There's an experienced and trustworthy franchise lawyer right in your backyard. Don't waste your time or money searching for a lawyer out of state when Rush Niggat is here and ready to help your business.
Hi, I'm Rush. I've specialized in business and franchise law for the past 25 years. I don't just want to be your lawyer. I want your business to succeed as much as you do.
Your business needs Rush. Visit his award-winning blog at rushonbusiness.com. It's good to have Rush on.
Football's right
right around the corner. Get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And with the NFL returning, DraftKings giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. But not just new customers, you returners, listen to this.
Indeed, Trent. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. DraftKings didn't forget about their current customers. All customers can participate in this one. This no-brainer on opening night. All customers can double their money as long as the defending Super Bowl champion, the Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers, don't get beat by 74 points.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code KXNO to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code KXNO to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, welcome back. 11:30 Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. So I've about almost stopped in the middle of our DraftKings live read there. Yeah. This bothers me. I don't like this at all. So can you go back in the computer?
Mm-hmm.
The bump that we played going into the break, I get Seahawks coming up next week.
Yeah.
And our PD is a Hawk fan. I get that. So were you listening closely? Play this. This is unfair. This shouldn't air on KXNO.
No matter what conference your team plays in next year, we've got you covered. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 AM and 106.3 FM. This is KXNO.
That's poking Iowa State with a stick.
Well, they're just saying, even if they're in the Mountain West or the MAC, we're still going to cover them.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's a low blow.
That's a low blow.
So you're saying pull that one out?
Yes. I would. I mean, I never would have recorded it in the first place, for God's sakes. Half of our audience is Cyclone fan. No matter where you're relegated to next year, we'll still talk about you. Come
be
on.
In the Big 12.
Well, next year, yeah.
Next year.
Anyways, let's get to Michael Swain. Whatever conference Iowa State's in, Michael Swain's going to talk about it with
us.
See, we wouldn't have done that intro. No. Hello, Michael Swain. Trent and Ken, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you're right. Wherever the Cyclones end up in the future, I'll definitely be covering them. But really excited for game week. It's finally here.
Yeah, let the bells ring out and the banners fly, my friend. It is long. It's been a long wait. So what's the week like as far as media availability for you? I know you get Matt Campbell tomorrow. We may or may not get a depth chart, which, you know, doesn't worth the paper it's printed on for some coaches. And then what? Is that it for access? Will you get the coordinators like you normally do late in the week?
Yeah, I'm pumped about it. So we get Campbell and some players in person on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we get the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, Tom Manning and John Haycock, and they will both be on Zoom. So that'll be really good. We didn't have that last year, the coordinator availability, so really excited to kind of get to pick their brains throughout the season.
So it's you and I. It's a game that in the past has been very difficult.
Yeah,
there's
been tough.
Never been a team, though, like this Iowa State team coming back with all the returning production, the preseason hype. When you look at it, it's an FCS team, but a good FCS program. How much attention do you think is going to be placed on Northern Iowa this week as opposed to, well, it's week one. It doesn't matter who it is. We're going to go out there. What's the conversation when you get ready to talk to the players and the coaches? What do you think it's going to be towards the Panthers this weekend?
Yeah, I think for Iowa State specifically, I think you look at the matchup here, and it is different than I think the last time they played a few years back, because you look at Iowa State and their ability to kind of control the trenches. So I think it's one of those things where Iowa State's talent level at the line of scrimmage is a lot better than it was, you know, 2 years ago and even against you and I in years past as well. But I think that for Iowa State, if you're asking kind of questions to players, I think a big thing for me is going to be, you know, what are they looking to get out of this game? Is this something where you're trying to find your sea legs? Is it you're still working on stuff from fall camp? How much experimenting is going to be done in terms of, like, you know, the offensive line or the rotations that are done? So I think it's more not necessarily asking questions about, you know, what challenge does you and I pose, because I think, you know, you can assume that Iowa State will be able to get out of this game with a win just based on pure talent level of the trenches, being able to control the game that way rather than having to rely on maybe Brock Purdy making a lot of throws. So I think you're more looking at what these players want to get tuned up before the really big Cy-Hawk game next week.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. Have you heard that game day, there's a chance that game day will be in Ames next week? Have you heard that?
Yeah, I saw what Chris Williams tweeted over the weekend. It'll be interesting. I know that there was like previous reports that they may go to the Navy game, but I believe that game got picked up by CBS,
if
my memory serves.
Yep.
So I'm not necessarily sure if ESPN's going to want to go to a place where they're promoting a game that's on another network. So I'll be interested to see if they go to Ames. I'm sure Iowa State fans would be excited. I'd be excited to get to cover game day in person. That'd be pretty sweet. But in terms of like the feasibility of it happening, I think there's a chance it could.
Absolutely. And I got to think contingency plans are being made. And what Chris tweeted out, if Indiana and Iowa State both hold serve, that it indeed is coming. So let's talk about the receivers. We know Hutchinson's going to get his. I'm not talking about tight ends, just wide receivers. We think Tariq Milton's going to be, you know, he was hurt the entire year last year. And this year he's coming into it and he's got that chip. And I think he's going to have a really good year. But then who's going to be next? Which of these, is it Skates? Is it Shaw? Shaw certainly flashed. Wilson's had his chances. Even this Noel guy, a kid that you've been talking about a lot. Who do you think that other one in that group is the receiver to step up this year?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that. I'm going to write something for tomorrow about kind of some breakout candidates. And I think my pick there would be Joe Skates. I think what I've heard just from kind of players and talking to Nate Shieldhouse earlier this spring and then listening to kind of just in general everyone talk about Joe Skates, it does sound like kind of something switched with him, where I think the mental side of the game has really started to click for him. And just, again, talking to guys and about what's maybe limited him in years past, it's been kind of that mental side of the game and being locked in all throughout practice and then being locked in all game. And so I think he'd be my pick. I think you look at his overall ability. You know, Nate Shieldhouse said he might be the fastest guy on the team if you're going to run a straight 100 meters, which I think you look at Iowa State, right? You're looking for guys to break the top off of defense. Tariq Milton could be that guy, but I think Joe Skates would also add another element there that, you know, Sean Shaw is a really big target and he's a really good pass catcher. But I think if you're looking for a deep threat, I think Joe Skates offers that. And I think if you're looking at Iowa State making it the most potent offense that it can be, I think if you have two guys that can blow the tops off of defense, it's like Milton and Skates on the field at one time. That's going to put a lot of pressure on defenses because you can't come short because they'll go over the top on you. But then you can't give a ton of space to guys like Charlie Kohler, Xavier Hutchinson, and Breece Hall because they're just going to, you know, dink and dunk for 8 yards of play. So I think Joe Skates is someone that could be kind of one of the keys for Iowa State on offense if they're really going to kind of reach that full potential of being just a potent offense is kind of in both facets of the pass and the run.
Six main players departed after last season. It's an incredibly small number. Jaquan Bailey, Dylan Sainer, Lawrence White, Kenny Nwangu, and Landon Akers. Of that group of six, who has the biggest shoes to fill? Who's the one that you look back upon and say, that's going to be the most difficult to replace?
Yeah, I think I would say, you know, when we first say that, I think Jaquan Bailey. I think that's anytime you have the all-time sack leader you're leaving. Like that's, those are big shoes to fill. And Will McDonald has been prolific. He has been incredible. I've said on our podcast that I think he could be one of those guys that plays his way into being a first round pick. That's how talented he is. He's 6'4". He's got the length. He's got a 42-inch vertical. Someone that has the intangibles. But I just, I'll believe it when I see it, I think, to some degree with him going against the run because we haven't seen that a ton from him. So I think that's something I'll be watching against you and I and against Iowa and then against Baylor, kind of those first, you know, three out of the first 4 weeks of the season, is how is he doing against the run? Because if he ends up being a solid guy against the run, he can play all three downs. I think he is just the loads of potential. But I also would look for someone like Jaquan Amos, the safety from Villanova who transferred to Iowa State to replace kind of Lawrence White. Iowa State reshuffled their safeties. Greg Eisworth, according to Dion Broomfield, the safeties coach, is now playing that free safety spot that White played over the last few seasons. And Jaquan Amos now is playing at that strong safety spot, which covers more ground. They play the field, kind of cover slot corners. And so Jaquan Amos comes to Iowa State after playing all over Villanova's secondary. He played as a safety, played as a corner, played as a nickelback. So he's someone, too, I think, that has some big time shoes to fill because he's stepping up a level, going from FCS to Power Five. And so I think those are probably the two guys I'll have kind of my eye on here in the first few weeks of the season because they do have big shoes to fill just in terms of consistency.
Yeah, very good answers on both. I'd throw Kane Nwangwo just because how he turned around games last year with his special teams plays. But yeah, that Amos kid, I forgot about him. Here's the other one that. Speaking of the secondary, I think it's the only battle. Correct me if I'm wrong. Young versus Tavon Kyle. Kyle certainly flashed as a freshman. I thought he took a step back last year. Is that maybe one of the, I don't know if it's up for grabs or not. Is it one of those positions that a camp battle is between those two guys?
100%. It is one of the closest battles I think that Iowa State has had. I think you look at up and down the roster, right? A lot of returning talent, not a lot of battles out there, but I think offensive line and then that second corner spot are probably the two biggest position battles out there. Because you look at kind of, there's three guys really that are competing for that spot. It's Tavon Kyle, Datron Young, both of them played a lot last year. And then a redshirt, or now he's a sophomore actually, played in enough games last year, TJ Tampa. He's had a really good camp from what I've heard. He's someone dating back to the spring that the coaching staff, I think, has really high hopes for as a corner. He's 6'2". You know, played wide receiver, played basketball. If you're on Twitter, there's a great video of him dunking in high school where like, he looks like LeBron James just in terms of the bounce that he has, you know, getting up in the air. So he's someone that has kind of loads of potential. So if you're looking for that second corner spot, I do think Datron Young will probably start the season. He's healthy for the first time this offseason, you know, in his Iowa State career. But I think you're going to see kind of all three of those guys play throughout the season. And I think we're looking for like long-term options there. I think TJ Tampa could be the guy.
And love 6'2"
yes.
in a corner.
Big corners are nice to have. So you were looking towards the future on Friday night, Michael. You made the short trek up to Ankeny to see the Hawks and their new quarterback, J.J. Cole, as they dispatch Waukee. Pretty easy victory for them. Big frame in J.J. Cole. He's 6'6". Offers already from Iowa, Iowa State, and Florida State. Tell us what you saw from the big quarterback.
Yeah, so for reference, I got to see J.J. Cole throw at Iowa State's camp on June 1st. That was when they offered him the scholarship. And, of course, I think anytime you watch a 6'6" quarterback with the arm that J.J. Cole has, you're going to be impressed by kind of the talent that just jumps off when you watch him. But getting to watch him on Friday, I think, you know, was reinforced kind of the arm talent that he has and the legit size that he has. But I think his touch on some deep throws really stood out to me. You look at a lot of kind of the bigger quarterbacks in terms of kind of college and going ahead to the pros. You think about guys like Josh Allen. You know, even looking at the 49ers now with Trey Lance, these are guys that have really big arms that are kind of big dudes as well. But the question is, you know, how accurate are they down the field sometimes? And I thought that J.J. Cole showed really good touch on some down-the-field throws. Now, he didn't cover all of them. There was a drop pass and then another one that he kind of just let sail on a little bit. But I thought in general that that was one of the big things that stood out. Now, if you're going to go to Ankeny games, you know, this season and watch J.J., I think the thing that I'd say to look at is, you know, what is he looking like kind of throwing from the line of scrimmage to 10 yards? Because that was one of the things where I charted some of his throws, and most of his incompletions came kind of around that kind of short yardage area where I think he has a big arm, but I think at times maybe it's one of those things where you got to learn how to maybe take a tiny bit off the fastball so guys are able to catch it because there were some drop passes. But overall, definitely came away impressed, and I'm excited. I'll probably get to watch J.J. play again against Southeast Polk here in a few weeks.
Yeah, Southeast Polk, a lot of people can be taking a look at that team. This is opening week. What other Big 12 school? I mean, I know you're Kansas grad, so that's probably the answer. But Stanford, K-State, West Virginia, Maryland, the Raging Cajuns in Texas. I think that's probably the best of the slate as far as the others. We may find out a little bit about the conference right after week number one. Which of those games you looking forward most to?
I think I'm looking forward to that Texas-Louisiana game just because I know Louisiana returns a lot of talent from the team that came into Ames and won a season ago. They lost the main running back they had, who is now, I believe, on the 49ers. But I think I'll be looking out for that game. I think for me, too, I think that Stanford K-State will be something that might be interesting to watch. I think that's at a neutral site, too.
It is.
So I think that'll be a game that'll be fun to watch just because I think those are two teams that are physical, going to run the ball a lot. And as someone from the West Coast, I've watched Stanford a ton growing up. So I think anytime you get to watch, you know, a big program like Stanford go against a program like K-State, both of which have a lot of history in terms of their talent, in terms of running the ball, being physical teams, I think that could be a good game. But in general, I do think for week one slates, I think it's a really good litmus test for some Big 12 teams.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, and Card gets the start. Didn't Sarkisian name the freshman to start for Texas? But like you, I'm with you. Stanford, K-State certainly moves my needle. Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Michael, we'll talk. We're off on Monday. I know Tuesday you've got Campbell, so if it doesn't work out that we get you on our show, we'll talk to you Wednesday. We'll talk to you at some point next week. CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. What's your piece coming out? You're going to preview some of the really, what were you going to do? What do you got coming up?
Yeah, of course. So today I'll write
sleepers?
Some freshmen. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to sort some freshmen into tiers today. Tomorrow we're going to do some sleeper picks for the season.
Good stuff. Look forward to it. Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Thank you, Michael.
Yep, thank you guys. Have a good week.
Yep, you do the same. Michael Swain, as he joins us. And again, as Michael said, whatever Iowa State conference Iowa State's in, you'll be covering them.
That one got to you.
It's not right. That's poking them with a stick.
Well,
yeah.
They're the bear.
Salt in the wound.
They're the bear, though.
I heard that.
You can poke the bear.
That didn't age well, did it? When we come back, we'll talk. Have you got a play tonight?
Oh, I got plays.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you do this weekend?
Didn't do a ton. Obviously won the Illinois. And
yeah, you did win the Illinois, and you won our MediaCom contest because of that.
Yeah, I was down to you a couple hundred bucks. Yeah. I put 550 on it in our fake money at MediaCom, and I think I beat you by $15 on the year.
Is that right? Yeah. That's good. Well, we both were on the plus side. We bet all year, and we both made money, so that's good stuff. We will come back. Who's Trent playing tonight again, folks? If you're a football fan, this is the last Monday night without football until after Christmas. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 1-
Warriors.com.
Trent Condon here to tell you about Rentestate, the new revenue rocket ship. Putting your home up for rent, not for sale. But why would you do that in a seller's market? Just do the math. Selling a home will catch you some cash once, while renting a home keeps that cash coming month after month after month. And because there are always renters, but not always buyers, Rentestate is foolproof, recession-proof, and retirement plan positive. What's not to love? The hassles of being a landlord? For one monthly flat rate, Renter's Warehouse will take away the tedious tasks. Tend to your tenants, answer the 3 a.m. calls, market your property, and collect the rent. Make the savvy, long game, paradigm shift, and choose Rentestate with Renter's Warehouse. Get your free rental price analysis today. Go to renterswarehouse.com or call 515-528-4429. 515-528-4429. Because you can't buy happiness.
Impacts today.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Final few minutes of the program. Irfan Andy in here at 1. The Fanatics at 3. You know, I have to believe that the Iowa State coaches show starts tonight. Has to, right? It's game week.
It's game week, yeah, good call.
Do you have the log?
Let me see here.
Because it would start, I think it's, what time's Campbell start? 6:30?
Here we go. Monday, August 30th, 6:30 to 8, the Cyclone Coaches Show.
There you go.
Nailed it. You have that. Yes. Also, looking at the calendar, Thursday night, the return of Cyclone Fanatic Radio at 6 good. O'clock. 7 o'clock, Hawkeye Nation Radio Show will also be on the air. So those two teams, shows are coming back.
Right. And there's a new show on Tuesday this week, too, right? The Tyler Allen's Fantasy Football Show starts.
I was in the draft with those guys last night. Had a good time. I got a team in there. I had three drafts yesterday and, well, had an in-person draft, which always can lead to a little bit of hijinks, including Corey Acosta being drafted. You might know Corey Acosta. He's a kicker.
Yeah.
That was cut
okay.
in 2015.
And somebody drafted him?
Somebody drafted him.
And didn't know that he was no longer in the league?
Well, they sorted their kickers by alphabetically.
Yeah.
That was the first one that came up. They thought they had done it numerically, like projected points.
Is this guy available for other people's draft if you're looking
for him? Yeah, call Jerry up. He's available for many leagues. Corey Acosta.
Wow.
He's already been cut.
I guess.
He's cut the NFL 6 years ago.
2015. Well, anyways, Tyler Allen has his show, mm-hmm. so we're back into football programming. That's Cyclone great. Fanatic on Wednesday, Hawkeye Nation on Thursday, Cyclone Fanatic on Thursday. Good stuff. Who are you playing tonight?
I've got a couple of plays. First, your Blue Jays tonight.
They play a stinker. Who do they play?
They play the Orioles.
Good.
Robbie Ray's pitching.
He's been so good.
Take a guess what the Blue Jays are on the money line.
It's huge. They're plus a minus 280.
That'd be huge. It's bigger.
Are you kidding me?
Minus 330.
Wow.
It's so tempting because you never see baseball lines this big.
Trent, Toronto's not. They're okay.
To grab Baltimore? I can't do it, though.
No,
I want to.
Don't do it.
But I can't. What I will be betting on tonight, we will take the Detroit Tigers.
That's this afternoon, just this.
Yeah, 110 first right. pitch there. Casey Mize, who's been pretty good.
Okay.
Against Ober, who's been pretty good himself for the Twins, but get plus money there.
Twins
with the Tigers.
Took 2 or 3 from the Brew Crew this weekend.
They continue to beat good teams. Mm-hmm. They continue to pile up. Boy, if April and May were just different, alas, here we are. The other one that I'm going to take tonight, this is a favorite. But the Phillies with Zach Wheeler on the mound against the Nationals. Nats have no offense. Wheeler, not great his last time out. I think he's going to be better here. So I will grab the Phillies minus 150 in Washington.
There's good baseball tonight. As we talked with Matt Snyder, there's some really marquee matchups to start this week. Milwaukee in taking on the Giants, Atlanta, the Dodgers, Houston, Seattle. Seattle's hanging around.
They still are. Rooting for them. I would love to see them get in.
Yeah.
They haven't been in the playoffs in 20
that's,
years.
That's crazy.
In baseball.
I know it.
Where everybody gets in at some
seemingly.
Point. Not Seattle. And to be able to see that, see the fans be out there. And mm-hmm. watch a baseball team for 20 years and you don't see a playoff appearance in today's structure of baseball. It just doesn't happen, but it has. So that's where my rooting interest still lies, is Seattle to get in. Sorry, Yankees. Sorry, Red Sox.
Blue Jays.
That's the one that I'd be rooting for. So a couple plays tonight and keep digging into that football deeper and deeper. I think I got a few more preseason bets before the regular season really gets started.
All right. Again, this is the final Monday without football until after Christmas. I can't believe it's
sounds
here.
Great.
But doesn't it sound great? Murph and Andy, they'll sound great in 1 hour and 5 minutes. The Fanatics at 3. Matt Campbell's Iowa State Coaches Show tonight. Debuts at 6:30 right here on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.